Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA, FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code podcast at grunes.co. That's code podcast at GRUNS.co.
Oh boy. He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, who shows this?
Dada. And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine holiday Sunday afternoon by you guys. I am nursing my 4th of July hangover. I hope all of you guys are doing so safely as well. Today on the show, we're going to continue the debate of Jonathan Kuminga or Rui Hachimura and offer up the latest intel on that entire situation, as well as the Lakers' efforts to find a backup center. There was a fun rumor over the weekend that came from, I believe, Mark Stein and Jake Fisher over there at the Stein Line about the Cavaliers apparently holding a roster spot for Bronny James. So we're going to discuss some of the ways that the Lakers might be able to take advantage of that situation. And then that's really it as far as, you know, the two topics that I'm bringing to the table today. I wanted to open up as much room for you guys as I possibly could to answer as many of your guys' questions over the course of the show. I am recording this while the Lakers play the Heat in Summer League play. I am recording this as Brazil plays Norway in World Cup play. I'm recording this during the John Deere Classic for those of you dads like me who enjoy watching a little Sunday golf. So whatever it is that you guys want to talk about, hell, tonight we got, I think, another episode of Thrones coming our way. We have the Mexico and England game in a matter of hours. So whatever it is y'all want to talk about, hit me with your questions, hit me with your comments, your subjects, all of that good stuff. And I'll get to as many of those as I possibly can over the course of the show. As a reminder, as always, please hit that like button. Please hit that share button. Please subscribe to the channel and turn on notifications for it. And then if you guys are listening to the show in the morning, or now I'll probably drop this as soon as I'm done recording. Please subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey, but wherever you get them is perfectly fine with me. And yeah, we will go ahead and charge on into this Jonathan Kuminga, Rui Hachimura backup center situation that the Lakers find themselves immersed in right now. So the Lakers, right before the weekend, and I hope you guys checked out the episode that Pete and I recorded on Friday. Right before he and I recorded it, the Lakers traded DeAndre Ayton and a center group that at one point looked really promising, right? A Walker Kessler, DeAndre Ayton, and Mamu center group. That was a nice, deep center rotation that made a whole bunch of sense, checked a lot of boxes, all that good stuff. Now it's a little thin because you have Walker Kessler, who played 5 games last year. You had Mamu, who's not even technically a full-on center, and no traditional backup. There is no lob threat in that group either. Kessler is huge and has decent finishing skills, in the pick and roll, but not really. Like, he's not going to jump over the top of the defense and finish a lob coming from Austin or coming from Luka. And, Mamu is a stretch 5 who is sized as more of a power forward. He definitely isn't going to finish over the top of the defense unless he's shooting over the top of the defense, but he is definitely not a lob threat. And the Lakers just don't really have a rim running athlete at the center position right now. Now, over the weekend, we saw Andre Drummond sign with the New York Knicks to replace Mitchell Robinson as their backup center there. He was reportedly one of the guys who the Lakers were considering. And now the Lakers are, just in terms of like the names that were linked to the Lakers initially, the Lakers list is now whittled down to Kevon Looney and Jonas Valanciunas. And that obviously is not a particularly inspiring list. There's a lot of overlap in terms of skill sets with Walker Kessler. I would just kind of like to see the Lakers be a little bit more creative on that front. We'll see what turns out, what comes out of all of that. And then also in terms of the Lakers efforts in terms of filling out their roster, we are still waiting to see which direction they decide to go in between Jonathan Kuminga and Rui Hachimura. There has been very little noise on those two fronts. If you read Mark Stein's stuff, he seems, and he and Jake are apparently getting intel that it's going to be Kuminga if they do open up the money to be able to sign him. If you listen to Pete and Darius, they think it is going to be Rui Hachimura. Either way, to me, I'm perfectly fine with either of those choices. I think Kuminga has a much higher ceiling than Rui, but I think Kuminga also has a significantly lower floor than Rui does. So we'll kind of get to that debate here in a bit and continue it. I want to see how you guys feel about those two guys as a possibility and possibilities. I love that we have a regular listener who has listened to the analogies over the course of the last few days. Give me some good old spaghetti. I'm with you, man. Like, I think Rui is a nice kind of steady option, somebody that the Lakers know about. They have watched him grow. I like the idea of not losing Rui for nothing, one way or another. Another thing that I'm kind of interested in here is how the rest of the free agent market is going to play out around Jonathan Kuminga and around Rui Hachimura. And I find myself wondering if there's any way whatsoever the Lakers could maybe get both, one of those guys, as well as another wing option. Matisse Thybul comes to mind most frequently. But yeah, we'll see what comes of this. And I want to know how you guys feel about this as well. The one thing I'll say about Kuminga, and I've said it a few times over, is that, I just talked about how the Lakers don't have enough athleticism at the center spot. They don't have enough athleticism, I think, in their front court, period.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
And Kuminga is easily the best athlete currently available. And that is, you know, very appealing for a team, you know, with Luka Doncic on it, right? Like, the Luka loves to throw that lob to the baseline cutter who finishes over the top of the defense. He, you know, obviously the example that comes to mind is Derrick Jones Jr. And it, who also, by the way, I believe is a free agent. So I find myself also wondering if, like, Derrick Jones Jr. is somebody that the Lakers are considering as well. Trey Mavs is asking about Zaire Williams. He is somebody who the Lakers considered going into free agency. I think he would be kind of a final signing as a, you know, 13th man, basically, at the end of their roster on a vet min. Another really good athlete, though. Somebody who I would be interested in. I liked how young he is as well. This is going to be something that the Lakers have obviously emphasized to this point in the offseason, is youth and athleticism. And, well, no, youth for sure. And they are hoping that this group can develop together while this is all taken, you know, over the years, while Luka is under contract, while Austin is under contract, and Walker Kessler and the other guys that they added to this group, you know, they have these longer term contracts, and the Lakers are hoping that all of these, you know, pieces of this new core that the Lakers have gets better, not just by way of, you know, talent and youth and stuff like that, but also organic development. And we'll see to what extent they wind up, you know, gambling correctly on that front. But right now, it just sounds like the Lakers are doing whatever they can. I think this Cavs situation with Bronny kind of plays into these efforts as well. So I'll talk about that here in a second. But the Lakers are, you know, they already traded DeAndre Ayton for some additional assets. They are canvassing the league to see if they have they can find some team that is willing to take Jared Vanderbilt and his contract for the price that the Lakers can pay. And we will see what comes of those efforts. But, you know, right now, they have, you know, made it very clear to Jonathan Kuminga's camp, and they have made it very clear to Rui Hachimura's camp that, you know, they have these other I's to dot and T's to cross before they can go into serious negotiations with those camps. And, you know, I think it would probably come down to which of those two players is willing to play for the least. I think that's probably how this is going to play out, but we'll see. Let's talk about the Bronny thing, because I do think those efforts are going to play a role in the Lakers' attempts to open up more flexibility, you know, to be able to spend on a power forward, a backup center, all of that good stuff. So Mark Stein reported over the weekend that the Cavs and the Warriors and the Timberwolves and the Sixers all consider themselves viable options. My buddy Jake Fisher also involved in the reporting here too. Shouts to Jake. Can't wait to probably see bump into you a couple of times there in Vegas next weekend. But the word is that those four teams are all see themselves as viable options for LeBron James after he makes this free agent decision. And you can, you know, kind of debate, well, Cleveland probably checks the most emotional boxes. You could debate the basketball fit for LeBron in Minnesota or in Denver. The Philadelphia one doesn't really make a whole bunch of sense to me, but whatever. And then while all of that is going on, though, you have in Cleveland, the Cavs apparently doing whatever they can to welcome Bronny to Cleveland if LeBron does indeed sign there. And made me kind of wonder, well, can the Lakers take advantage of the situation without being too cynical, right? It's kind of gross to be like, we have your son. But like also, like this is how sometimes business goes down. You know, you got to take advantage of the situations presented to you. LeBron departs by a free agency and you're like, well, shit. And then it's like, well, shit, you know, like as far as what the Lakers could possibly do here. And like the question that I think the Lakers are, you know, debating internally right now, based off of the conversations I've had, is do we want to focus on additional assets coming back in return for Bronny? Or do we want to focus on financial flexibility in return for Bronny? We already saw with DeAndre Ayton, they prioritized assets in return for Ayton. They got those couple of second round picks from Washington, which in some cases are oftentimes first, like very nearly first round picks. Those are legitimately valuable assets that the Lakers are presenting to teams. In conversations about, you know, Jared Vanderbilt's contract and all of that stuff. But with Bronny, it's like, all right, well, if we don't take any players back and we just move that couple of million bucks, you know, can we get a second rounder back or can we just get that financial flexibility? The other way that the Lakers can handle the situation is to see if they can get a player back. To help fill out the rest of their roster, right? They, the Cavs have some interesting young players on their team. They have some interesting players at various prices across their team. Do the Lakers basically go to the Cavs and say, "Hey, what if it's Bronny and one, you know, Dalton for one of Cleveland's rotation guys as LeBron preps to sign over there and take a bunch of those wing minutes?" Looking at you, Max Strus. Do the Lakers, you know, basically send Bronny over there and say, "Jalen Wells, what are you doing?" But like, regardless, whether it's to Cleveland, whether it's to Golden State, whether it's to Minnesota or to Denver, the Lakers guaranteed Bronny's contract with a full understanding that LeBron was probably going to peace out. And the Lakers, I think they also value Bronny as a player. He has legitimately developed in his couple of years there with the Lakers. But also, they're very clear-eyed over the situation that LeBron is signing in. And LeBron's preference to continue to play with Bronny on whatever team that he goes to next. And they are, you know, the Lakers are going to, whenever LeBron makes his decision, which hopefully happens relatively soon.
Evening. Buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyers rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Want a $1,000 weight loss medication for $50? It all starts with Rose free GLP-1 insurance check. Just upload your insurance card to see if you have coverage, then relax. Over 200,000 people have qualified for a $50 copay through Roe. Go to roe.co/health. Half of covered patients have a $50 per month copay or less for medication, plus $145 monthly Roe membership fee. Deductible costs may apply and final cost varies by insurance plan. For safety information about GLP-1 medications, including boxed warning, go to roe.co/safety, Rx only.
Hey gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are going to move. We are going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, I guess it should also be said, LeBron told everybody when he was looking to make this decision. So it might not happen till later in the summer. But whenever that decision happens, the Lakers are looking to, you know, send Bronny to whatever team that LeBron goes to. Maybe get a second rounder back for him. Maybe get a younger player that at a position of need that they are interested in. And I think this is a situation that, you know, feels like right on that like border of icky and practical. But the Lakers are looking to take advantage of the of all of this and LeBron leaving and the teams that really, really, really want LeBron at the price that LeBron is going to have to play at next year. And the Lakers are basically going to say, you want LeBron? We have a LeBron right over here, too. And we'll see to what extent they're able to take advantage of all of the stuff that is involved with LeBron's decision on where he's going to play next year. All right, let's go ahead and answer some of your guys' questions and comments and all of that good stuff. We have the most important sound on the show. Also, this one, I'm going to play this one because this is how I felt all of yesterday. All right. Let's see. The first super comment that we have from here is from Intel is wild. Fuck Boston. Always. That is just my standard operating protocol. That is my modus operandi. That is just, I wake up every morning and before I say good morning to Jen, before I say good morning to Avery, before I say good morning to Miles, the first thought that runs through this here brain is this. All right. So the first super comment that we have, actual question that we have here from via super comments is from Juice2K25, who writes, I can't for the life of me understand why people can't see that this LeBron thing isn't about basketball. It's funny that he's willing to take less. Yeah. So I saw Kevin O'Connor tweeted out about like the basketball fit with the Cavs and how it doesn't make a whole bunch of sense to him outside of LeBron's return home and all of that stuff. And I was like, you know, I tweeted this out too, but if this did come down to the best basketball decision that LeBron could make or the best decision that like checks the most boxes for LeBron, the Lakers still make the most sense to me. You know, it's just very clear to me that LeBron and the Lakers were ready to move on from each other. But in hilariously Lakers fashion, they still have an open power forward spot on their roster. Now, it's possible. It's not possible. Probably not happening. But it would be hilarious if LeBron, like, all right, saw over there in Cleveland what roster they have, looked over there in Golden State at the roster that they have, checked out Miami, checked out Denver and Minnesota, and then, like, in canvassing the league about what some of those options would be and what that would entail, looks back at the Lakers roster and is like, they need a power forward. You know, Bronny is still sitting right there. It would be like, I don't know. I don't honestly have any belief that this could possibly happen. I truly don't think that LeBron would come back to the Lakers after all of this and the big to-do that he and Clutch made over his departure. But it's also like this as a basketball situation is super interesting. And if he wants to compete for championships and if he wants to, you know, end his career in a serious situation, the Lakers finally got serious. You know, they finally invested in their future and they finally invested in the center position and they finally invested in some of these things that modern organizations need. And for the, if you're LeBron and the Lakers had just kind of rode out the string on your extended prime, leaving now after all of it feels a little counterproductive, you know, even though the Lakers have made it fairly clear that they, you know, how they feel about LeBron and how ready they were to move on. But at the same time, it's like if I'm LeBron and I did everything that I did over the years to continue to, you know, keep this team in the relevance that I have, and then they are finally turning a corner and they are finally taking championship contention seriously, that would be something I would be interested in participating in. Same time, though, I think, you know, through Baxter Holmes' reporting and through some of the stuff that I have heard, both sides between the Lakers and LeBron James were ready to move on from each other. It's a bummer. I'm like legitimately bummed out from a basketball standpoint and also like from a human standpoint. This guy who was meant as much to the Lakers as he has for almost a decade is now at a point or arrived eventually at a point where he just was ready to be done with the Buss family and Rob Pelinka. And, you know, I think that's a bit of a bummer. And I think it's also a pretty big bummer that Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka feel the way about LeBron and Clutch that they do. You know, you saw that pettiness that was reported about that entire situation there. And I think it was very prescient and true. And it's a whole bunch of information that I have since confirmed. Not that Baxter Holmes needs my confirmation, but it's a bummer, man. And whatever decision LeBron makes, I think he wants to be as close to championship competition as he can be, while also ending his career in a situation that befits his ending his career there. And that's why, like Minnesota, San Antonio, situations like that, I think we can just kind of waft those away like gnats in the summer and really kind of focus on Golden State. We can focus on Cleveland. We can focus on Miami. It's going to come down to one of those three situations. And LeBron deserves to end his career however he chooses to end it. I just think it's a bummer that the Lakers aren't figuring into that conversation in large part because of how petty Jeannie and Rob had become with LeBron and with Clutch and with his entire camp. All right. The next question here comes from BG the Kid, who writes, is Peyton Watson an option? Nope. I'm sorry to pop bubbles here, but the Lakers don't have the spending ability to make an offer to Peyton Watson that Denver wouldn't be absolutely thrilled to match, right? Like, you, in all likelihood, Peyton Watson is going to sign for something in like the low 20s, I would imagine. The Lakers at most can offer something in the high teens. And if the Lakers made that offer, Denver would be like, yes, yeah, that sounds great. I honestly don't even think Peyton Watson would take that offer because it would be so low that that Denver would immediately match it, and the Lakers, you know, would have just tied up their money for however long that they tied it up. So I don't think Peyton Watson is happening. There was a report over the weekend that I found interesting that apparently the Nuggets potentially in response to Jokic saying, I'm not going to sign this extension, are now saying, well, maybe we'll pay the luxury tax. It's funny how that works, right? It, like, going into the summer, it was like, absolutely not. Not paying the luxury tax under any circumstances whatsoever. And Jokic is like, all right, fine, fuck you. I'm out of here after this contract. And he's like, and now the Kroenkes are like, okay, we'll consider paying the luxury tax.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's where things stand there. So it's a possibility that Denver might retain Peyton Watson, keep Christian Brown, keep Aaron Gordon, keep Cam Johnson, and actually, you know, operate like a serious organization going into next year. It's what I'm hoping for, like the basketball fan. I think when you have a player as great as Jokic is, there's a responsibility to employing him. And you like the Kroenkes have a responsibility to pay the luxury tax while you have a Nikola Jokic. And I'm happy that maybe things might be heading in that direction. But yeah, for the Lakers, their chances of Peyton Watson were always very thin. They signed their one restricted free agent this summer, the one that they really, really wanted, the one that they've wanted, frankly, for years. And now it's a matter of filling out the roster around Luka, around Austin, and around the restricted free agent that they actually were able to acquire. Let's see. Next question here comes from... this is a fun question. Edgar P. writes, who was more petty, Genie or LeBron? I could get myself into some trouble with this question. Who was more petty? I think Genie. It was more petty. And I said this to Pete back as it was happening, but I thought Jeannie told us a lot about who she is as a human being when Jerry West died and it took the Lakers hours to acknowledge it. And when they finally acknowledged it, it was with like a single graphic that was not at all befitting of losing an icon like Jerry West. And when that went down, to me, Jeannie was signaling to everybody who was paying any attention whatsoever, this is who I am. And I said this to Pete. I said this on the show that he and I recorded after Jerry had passed. I said, I think Jeannie showed us her true colors with all of that. And when Baxter Holmes reported how petty she and the Rambi and Rob and Tim Harris were with LeBron, it was like that lines up pretty consistently with how she handled Jerry West passing. And I think it's also, you know, like if you are somebody that Jeannie considers a friend or family or an extended family member, whatever, you are good for life. But the moment that you don't like live up to her expectations of loyalty, you know, you don't get to come back. And I think we've seen it with Pat Riley. They built him a statue, all that stuff. He showed interest in the Lakers gig after LeBron took off, and she did not, meet that interest. Whereas like with Rob Pelinka, he has been loyal. He has been nothing but loyal, incredibly loyal. And she has met that loyalty with a full commitment, full throated support in every instance. Anytime Rob Pelinka's seat starts warming up a little bit, and it just kind of is what it is. But with LeBron, as soon as that Russell Westbrook trade happened, it was very, very clear that that relationship had fractured, and you know that relationship has only further eroded ever since. And what I've heard from people who worked there was that, you know, anytime LeBron did something that Jeannie didn't necessarily love, she would say to people that she trusts in that inner circle, Kobe would have never done that, you know. And I think LeBron, when he signed with the Lakers originally, was always going to chase Kobe's ghosts. And then Kobe literally died. And LeBron had to chase those ghosts even more with Lakers fans. And then that sentiment seeped into the actual Lakers organization at the highest levels. And, it's frustrating. It was like really annoying to hear about it over the years. And we're going to start getting more and more and more word about like the extent to which that became the reality, especially after LeBron signs somewhere. But if you guys, you know, want a pretty clear view of that relationship between LeBron and the Lakers towards the end, that Baxter Holmes piece about that relationship, about that pettiness, or which covered that pettiness, I think is, it, you know, 100%. Correct. It is 100% how Jeannie and Rob felt about LeBron by the end, and their split and the way that it went down this summer, where you have Brian Windhorst saying that like there was never an offer made and there was basically zero communication with LeBron. Gonna go ahead and say that was pretty accurate. And accurate and frustrating. That's what it was. All right. The next question. You're right, Bashir. Derek Jones Jr. is a free agent next offseason. Does make me wonder if he can maybe be got by a trade. We'll see. But here we are. Uni LOL writes, didn't West talk a lot of crap on the Lakers? He did. This is the thing about like pettiness, you know, it's almost never one-sided. It's almost never like just one half of a relationship that is breaking down that eventually eventually erodes completely. Or, you know, if a bridge is burnt and pissed on, it's usually pissed on by two sides. And that is what happened with Jerry West, where he was made uncomfortable by Jeannie Buss and Phil Jackson's relationship. And that was kind of the starting point of of that friction. And it got worse and worse and worse and worse. And eventually, you know, you saw Jeannie do such petty things as like literally like pulling the wet Jerry West. By the time he had died, his family didn't have tickets any longer to Lakers games. Think about how fucking crazy that is. That Jerry West, the logo of the NBA, in my opinion, the most important figure in Lakers history, other than Dr. Buss, did not have, or his family didn't have, season tickets by the time he had finally died. You know, listen to the, there's an interview on this channel that Ryan West and I did together, you know, kind of outlining some of that pettiness and how, like, the documentary about Jerry West puts it pretty clear how things went down there. And it's a bummer how it went down. West was a key figure with the Lakers. He was also incredibly opinionated, and he did not suffer any fools. And the Lakers right now as an organization is still chock full with fools. Like, you know, the Rambai is still there. Rob is still there. And yeah, they have made, you know, their decisions for this offseason. But they made their decision on LeBron before the offseason even started. And I think it's going to cost them. You know, I think had they handled that relationship better, you would be looking at a situation here between LeBron and the Lakers that would be a lot more productive at the very end of this relationship than it has been to this point. And you know, that pettiness is a disease, honestly. And I think Jeannie suffers from it. Bloodhound Lil Jeff, Michael writing, you piss on bridges, where's your manners? Dude, when I was a kid and we had enough to drink, we pissed on all kinds of stuff. Like, that's just how that went. But no, the point was that, like, if a bridge is burnt and eventually pissed on, both parties usually are partaking in that exercise. And I think there were moments that LeBron was petty at the end of this relationship. There were moments that Jeannie was petty at the end of that relationship. And I think both parties were ready to move on from each other. But I think both parties still would benefit from extending that relationship. And it's not going to happen. And it's because of that pettiness. And it's one of those things that, like, you're going to, you know, they're going to, that relationship is going to end one way or another, or it has ended already. And you know, as we found out literally with Jerry West, you know, this life is a lot shorter than we think it is. And I was legitimately sad when Jerry West died, that he and the Lakers never worked out their relationship with each other. And now you can't, you know, now they can't work that relationship out with Jerry West. And, you know, it would be nice to see LeBron and the Lakers work out this relationship, you know, in some way, shape, or form before it's too late. All right, I'm going to go ahead and pop off here. I got dinner to cook, a Mexico match to prep for. I hope you guys had a very safe and sound and fun holiday weekend. The way that this week is going to play out, I have some guests lined up for this week. I have some guest appearances lined up and other shows lined up for this week. We await news on the Jonathan Kuminga, Rui Hachimura internal debate that the Lakers are immersed in right now. And whenever we get any clarity on that front, I will pop on here and break it down live for you guys here in this here lounge. And yeah, until the next time you guys hear from me, which is going to be tomorrow, have a great rest of your holiday weekend. Make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you guys in a bit.
Bye, everyone.
This is the sound of captivity.
This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.